Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
These questions raised all the time. Are young people less resilient these days than in past generations? Does the increased availability and awareness of mental health supports help young people, or does it prompt them to go and complain about their mental health? Are young people being held back by overbearing adults who are democratizing parenting? In other words, leaving too much to the decisions of their children rather than making some decisions for them. Well, I'm joined now in studio by Professor Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin, by News Talk's own Megan O'Halloran, she of the specific generation we are going to be talking about, and on the line, Siobhan O'Neill-White of MAMS.ie. Good morning and welcome one and all. So let's get your view first, Megan. I mean, are you oversensitive? Are you less resilient than older generations that you look at?
I think that it's interesting because a lot of older generations might perceive us as being less resilient, but I think that's maybe because we're more vocal. If we have a problem, we maybe have a more hands-on approach rather than kind of masking it or pushing our feelings to the side. We're more of the thinking, talking about it, acting on it, be that, you know, meditating, or there's a lot of tools. And I think we've grown up with that, maybe online as well, that kind of idea of tackling things head on. So in some ways, maybe because we're more vocal, it would appear that we are.
I mean, I don't know whether you heard on our breakfast show yesterday, they were talking about people of your generation who, if they had to give a presentation, they look for a thought for the day before, to jizz themselves up before they go in. And they were scoffed at by both Kira and Shane, I have to say, that idea.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any harm in that. I think, look, if it helps people and if that's, you know, a positive way of going forward, I do think that maybe we're less likely to, you know, as a generation, even speaking with my own friends, things like chatting on the phone to people or making a phone call, we'd probably be a little bit more taken aback by things like that. Even in my own job, obviously, that'd be something I do quite regularly.
But do young people talk to each other about their own mental health?
I think they do. And I think it's good that we have a support system there that's separate to maybe our families. I, with my own friends, would. And I think it's known that if any of us have a problem, we'll show up for each other and we will listen and we'll sit down.
Much is made of your generation not being able to have proper conversations because you're the digital generation, that you're more comfortable, for example, WhatsApping each other. And I know those tools are good because you can have 10 people in the conversation if you want.
Yes.
So it can be a communal thing. But even when it's just two people, rather than pick up the phone and talk, it's easier to text or WhatsApp or message in some way.
I do think you're right about that. And I personally love a phone call because I feel that I have more of a connection with the person. But my friends would be more likely to send me a little voice note or WhatsApp me a message. And it's even interesting walking around town. You'll see everyone has their headphones on. It's like they can't engage with anyone around them, whether they're on the bus. And even using kind of self-service so they don't have to make the small talk, I think is interesting.
Isn't it really that you're used to, even at the checkout in a supermarket, you'd have a chat with the person at the till about the weather, whatever it might be, probably bore them silly with the same conversations. But still, it was human contact.
Yeah.
Now you've got people just shuffling up to those automatic machines and checking themselves out. So that little bit of social interaction is gone. What do you make, though, of the older generation saying to you, it was much tougher in our day, and look at you guys, you know?
I think every generation thinks that they had it harder than the one that comes next. And that's just the way it is. It's human nature. And I think our difficulties might be quite different. They are quite different to previous generations. And I know that. But you have to remember as well, growing up as a teenager in a world that was evolving so fast, that digital landscape that we talk about all the time, It was very difficult.
And a world of COVID and a world where exams were cancelled when the places that you might go to socialise were no longer open to you during that period. It's been a turbulent time, all right.
It has. I was the COVID year, so I wasn't able to do my Leaving Cert in the traditional way. I had a mix of predicted grades and the in-person exams. So that was then 2 years of disruption, I suppose, being at home.
Do you feel you got a bonus out of those predicted grades?
Might have.
Okay. Brendan's listening closely to all of this, but we'll talk to Siobhan first of mams.ie to get her perspective, observing parenting by her own generation and how it might be different from previous generations. Are people just too much into the whole, I suppose, the duty of parenting and being conscious of it instead of just muddling through as a previous generation might have done?
I think that the teenagers now have more challenges than we had. I know I had a lot more freedom than I give to my teenagers. Now, I do try, they have part-time jobs and they do have social lives and all that kind of stuff. And I try to instill, I want them to be able to handle situations themselves, that they don't always have to come, you know, running to us when something goes wrong. And I have teenage daughters, and inevitably, we've already had situations where they've been groped and manhandled and things like that by men much older than them. They're working in a restaurant. And we've had to have conversations about how to handle that. And it, the same thing was happening to me when I was working in a restaurant as a teenager. I think the difference was I didn't go home and say to my mom and dad, you know what happened today? We just kind of accepted it. And it was obviously it was wrong and we shouldn't have tolerated it. But now,
but the argument would be, I suppose, for those who complain about the lack of resilience today, they'd say, well, you certainly learned very quickly how to handle those situations. You know, it made you more resilient for the next time it happened. You told the guy where to go or gave him a slap or whatever.
You don't pass, because those situations they'll always happen. It's really unfortunate that I've had to sit down with my girls and say, look, you know, it's going to happen. Something creepy is going to happen. And, you know, the first time something happened to my daughter, she was 15 and a man approached her at a bus stop and he was leering over her and things like that. And she was on her own. She was waiting for her friend and she was extremely uncomfortable. And there was a woman at the bus stop, and maybe in her 40s. And the woman copped what was happening and came and stood beside my daughter. And then the man moved away and my daughter stayed with the woman and spoke with the woman. So she came home and told us straight away. And I think she handled it as best she possibly could, and the woman helped her. She saw what was happening and she helped her as best she possibly could. So that kind of situation would have happened to me as a teenager, and the same thing now is happening to them. What we try to do is just give them the smarts to try and understand the best way to deal with it. And they know now at this point certain people will come into their job and there's certain guys that they'll just avoid. And I've said, you know, have that conversation with your manager.
Yeah, at least there is a difference, I suppose, these days that teenagers are more likely to tell their parents when something like that happens.
Yeah.
In a previous generation, they would have said nothing, you know, for fear.
I said nothing.
For example, you know, you wouldn't be allowed to go work in the restaurant, or you wouldn't be allowed to go to the movies with your pals if something unfortunate happened in the cinema. So therefore, you didn't tell your parents because they'd stop you going to the cinema again.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Or your dad would go up and all hell would break loose.
Yeah,
and you didn't
indeed.
Want that. You didn't want to lose your job. So we kind of all just accepted it. And I look back and I think, God, the things we accepted, I would never want my children to accept those kind of things. And they don't. And that's good. But I have a son as well. And it's about teaching him, you know, the ways, you know, how to be around women, how to be around girls. He has three sisters. He has grown up surrounded by the drama of what that's like. But again, that when he's out in the world and he's, you know, dealing with people, that they're all respectful and they have manners, but they have the confidence to stand up for themselves. But I do think that there's a lot of pressure put on them with social media. Bullying doesn't stop. When we went home as kids, if you were getting bullied in school, it stopped. When you went home, it doesn't stop now. So we take the phone off our youngest every night, which causes absolute ructions. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to be a parent and you have to make sure that they're not, because they'd be on it all night if you let them. You have to monitor those kind of things. And so they don't get away from things. They don't get, I think, the time to reset and escape. The social media is always kind of dragging them in. And that's something that we need to be very aware of. And I think that there's a really, really bad lack of mental health services, particularly for teenagers in school who are under so much pressure with, you know, exams and the whole focus, the way the Leaving Cert is put together and all of that. So I think for them, it's difficult. Our school has about 600 students, I think, and there's two counsellors. So there's not really a lot of mental health support to go around. Now, the school are amazing and they're really open about mental health. But, you know, if you take your child to your GP, for example, if the child is under 16, they go into the CAMHS care. But, you know, you could be waiting sometimes. I've heard from parents who are waiting up to a year for an appointment with CAMHS. And then if your child turns over from 16 to 17 within that time frame, they're kicked off that list.
They have to start from scratch. Again. Yeah,
exactly. So the time, if someone does need a little bit of counselling, and I think they should all, that should be available much more easily to them. And it's not. And that's definitely an area that needs to have more put into it.
Thank you very much, Siobhan O'Neill White of MAMHS.ie. Now, Brendan, you're listening to this conversation and the question is resilience. How do you build resilience? And what is appropriate control? Because, you know, taking the phone off, you heard from Siobhan there, the battle to get that phone to protect the child, maybe from bullying overnight or whatever it might be. So it's that fine line.
Yeah, it's a difficult line to navigate for sure. But first, resilience is a good thing to have. We need some of it. But, you know, if you need infinite amounts of resilience in your life, then the problem isn't really with you. It's not a deficit with you. And there are certain things that, like if there is sexual harassment going on in a workplace, that is a legal matter rather than something everybody should be resilient enough to withstand. It's more than unfortunate. It's illegal. And if that is...
The workplace is controlled, though. You know, the notion that someone is groped, a waitress is groped as she passes some dirty alfla in a restaurant, and he will deny it, of course, and would the waitress actually raise the complaint and cause a stir?
Well, the correct course of action is that she would feel empowered to raise the complaint. She would not feel that there would be negative consequences at work or elsewhere. And that should not be tolerated now. Mm. It should not have been tolerated years ago either. But I suppose turning more towards the family side of things, as you mentioned, and taking the phone away in the evening. I mean, families are not democracies. And we need to be quite clear about that. And what children need is authoritative parenting. In other words, there is somebody in charge. That's how families run. But that is combined with warmth and with an awareness that a certain amount of exposure to adversity is useful. It's like inoculating the child against stress. It increases coping skills. But even so, there are some things that are simply intolerable, like the kind of sexual harassment.
But in terms of, you know, getting people to be more resilient, you know, I don't want to go to grannies because it's going to be boring. I'm sorry, you have to go to grannies.
Yeah, well, that's about teaching a broader framework of values, which is that family matters and we sometimes have to attend family occasions we're not entirely thrilled about. We can, you know, make them shorter, make them frequent and less intense and things like this. But it is about combining structure from a parental point of view with warmth and support and talking through these problems when they arise. Because, you know, adolescents who face moderate challenges show greater emotional regulation, greater self-efficacy later on.
But look, can you create those challenges? I mentioned going to the grannies, that's not a huge challenge. But you know what I mean? You want to give them a bit of resilience, but can you control the challenges you throw in their way?
To a degree. I mean, we shouldn't be just throwing up obstacles in order to toughen up the children. Mm. But things will happen, like opportunities to do extra things at school, maybe to get a summer job in a limited way, and supporting children to navigate that. They want to do these things. So it's about supporting them to do them in a moderate way, being there when they stumble and letting them carry on again, but without judging them too much.
So Megan, how do you feel being labelled a snowflake all the time?
I think it's an interesting one, but you know, I don't feel it represents my generation at all. I think given everything that we've discussed here today, the challenges we've overcome in the last few years, I think longer term, we will be more resilient because we're dealing with it.
Yeah, all those challenges. I'll read you some of the comments coming in. Hi, I'm a male, age 33. Not sure what I title I have, Gen Z, etc. I was in the hospital the other day and struck a chat with an elderly lady. We found out we knew people in common, chatted about her family and kids and my family and kids. She left the waiting room for a coffee and her name was called by the doctor. I was able to inform the doctor she had just left and would be back shortly. This was simply due to her introducing herself in a small conversation. Very much enjoyed the conversation. Communication is vital in society. And that is missing in a lot of interactions these days. You know, the flirtation with the butcher, whatever it might be.
Yes, well, it is and it isn't. I mean, communication patterns have changed. And someone, say, of my generation, aged 52, trying to understand the communication patterns of a younger generation isn't always the best thing. And just about the snowflakes, I think it's very important to repurpose that word and realize that each snowflake is unique. Snowflakes are very, very beautiful when you look at them. And together, they're
very
powerful.
They melt very quickly, though, don't they?
They're very powerful indeed.
Teenagers and younger generation are now less comfortable with general communication and tend to avoid face-to-face interactions. My experience are they are more fickle with most life decisions, which leads to a lack of loyalty and commitment. Unfortunately, social media are dumbing down all of those who use them and leading to most not knowing how to interact correctly. That's from Tim in Galway. Megan? Less comfortable with face-to-face interactions,
I think,
fickle with life decisions.
I think we are probably more comfortable behind a screen. I think it even comes into things like the dating. Like you mentioned, I don't think people are as comfortable approaching people in that real-life setting. I think possibly...
Now, it was always the challenge for the lads to have to walk across the ballroom floor and ask someone to dance. That was always a challenge. But, I mean, the pub social life was a much more organic way of people meeting each other than swiping on a screen. And that's missing. I don't think, can you recreate that kind of thing? I'm told there's a backlash against online dating.
There is, I'm sure, a backlash. I think it's the fact that any rejection, whether that be in the workplace, in, you know, a personal sense, is difficult, but it's a lot easier to do when you're not face to face with a person. So maybe that's why people are less comfortable in real life.
I mean, how do you handle rejection? It's inevitable in everyone's life that at some point someone will say no.
Yes, somebody will. And people do say no in different ways today. It's a little more little indirect, perhaps, on the phones and so forth. But I will come in with some counterpoints here, which is that for young people, we know they're still meeting up face to face. Participation in weekly sports, for example, is increasing year on year among boys and girls. And this is face to face contact, team sports. It has never been more popular among young people or indeed among adults.
But the lack of face-to-face, which is real, but someone on the screen is saying, it's true of everybody. It's not just young people who are, you know, a lot of more people are doing a lot of stuff through screens than they did before.
We are, and it's not all bad. Some things go well through screens, and it hasn't entirely replaced meeting up face-to-face. We've all kinds of initiatives like park runs, like social groups happening. It's not all simply dystopian pictures of people alone in supermarkets shuffling up to automated counters. There's a lot of connection going on. And each year, each moment, each day, Pat, on the planet, more than 8 billion people wake up and they want human connection. That is a huge force in the world that persists despite phones, despite social media, despite AI. People want people and always find a way.
On that very positive note, Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College in Dublin, Megan O'Halloran from News Talk and herself a member of that generation, and before that, Siobhan O'Neill White from MAMS.ie. Thank you, one and all.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.